I'm losing track of the knobs here. Sorry. Because I gotta. Travis echoes if I'm not like over here paying attention to him talking, so I gotta turn him up.
Quit messing with my knob. God damn.
Who matches up in front of you?
No, I expected you to do it, but I'll do it.
Oh, okay, because I'm not doing enough. Oh, the new world champion?
I need a second.
The new champion for All Elite Wrestling? Yeah. Mr. Samoa Joe?
So, WWE draft is tomorrow. Starts tomorrow, goes to Monday. They laid out rules for the WWE draft. Do you have those rules ready?
I do.
What are those rules, sir?
Rule one of the WWE draft in 2024. Champions on each brand will be protected and are not eligible to be drafted. As a result, Damian Priest, Becky Lynch, Awesome Truth, and Sami Zayn will remain on Raw. Cody Rhodes, Bayley, A-Town Down Under, and Logan Paul will remain on SmackDown. The WWE Women Tag Team Champions will still travel between shows until they are no longer champions, and then they will go to their prospective drafted show. That's basically the rules, other than, you know, 16 picks on Friday, 24 picks on Monday. Everybody gets the same amount. SmackDown picks first on Friday. Raw picks first on Monday. There's a certain amount of guys available on SmackDown, and there's a certain amount of people available on Raw. I like that. Because you only have two shows to do it.
Yeah, the draft pools I do enjoy. I saw one thing that somebody brought up that I kind of agree with that I hope that they kind of bring back. I hope they bring back the locker room shots.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Because they didn't really do that the last couple times. I want to see them bring back the locker room shots. Bring back the shots of people and their reaction to getting drafted.
Right?
Because we need more.
Trust them to do their job and sell it. And tell them, please. Yeah. That's all I ask.
Yes, please. Please. Any surprises, immediate surprises that you were expecting for Friday?
Not really.
Yeah,
they've kind of left it like, I don't want to say not like entertaining, but, and maybe they can win this next year. I don't know why first pick matters. If champions aren't eligible to be drafted. It's even if you go, all right, I'm Raw, I'm drafting Cody Rhodes, but he can't be champion on my show, so I'm not going to draft Cody Rhodes. So I think they need to put a little bit more importance on, you know, the first overall pick, why that person should be the overall pick. Like, they need to, like, go head first into this, give us some draft rooms. Give some trades, some blockbuster deals. Let's do it. Go full board. Let's go full in on the bullshit like Tony Khan in his draft.
I do like that they're doing a draft the week of the actual NFL draft.
Oh, dude, it's so smart.
I thought that was a smart move.
Piggyback off the draft. Smart. Hell yes.
Absolutely.
So smart. And that's why maybe – over time, if they can make this work and stick to their rules, next year we can get those drafts. Next year, maybe we can get some rumors thrown out to the dirt sheets that are bullshit. Like, let's go full board with it.
Oh, you mean like Jacob Fatu possibly debuting in the next week?
Yeah. And then, never mind.
Never mind. He's not.
So you're telling me he's going to debut anyway. Eventually.
I'm telling you he's probably going to debut on Monday because they're probably getting worked.
Probably.
I say Monday. It's probably going to be – it probably would be tonight because I don't know if the Bloodline's switching over to Raw. I think they should.
Tonight's Thursday, bud.
tomorrow. Duh. My bad.
They've been on SmackDown for years. Put them on Raw.
I think it would give it more time to build the story and give you more time to actually build the story together. Not that they book day of or week of anymore like they used to, because, you know, Triple H actually doesn't like to do that. To the point of where he's ripping up scripts 2 hours in advance.
Thank God.
Thank God.
It's a better product. When you're willing to be like, you know what? We're going to try to put on the best show we can, but fuck it. It takes all the pressure off. That's what I see in both companies right now. Let's do the best we can, but at the end of the day, fuck it. There's next week.
Yep. Yep. Oh, we have an end goal. Let's save that for 6 months down the line and book backwards like it's supposed to be.
Exactly.
All right. Let's touch on Dynamite.
Yeah.
Do you want to just hit the high spots with Dynamite?
I mean, we got to hit. We got to hit the top story first. And we'll talk about that round robin match thing, Royal Rumble thing.
Good, because I have some comments to say about that.
Cool. Well, I mean, and one thing, you know, Chuck Taylor finally stood up to Trent. We got a story there. The best friends are no more.
I do like that. Like this story with Chucky T and Trent Beretta and Orange Cassidy.
That story has been told. That thing's been being told since the beginning of the company.
And it finally is coming to a head. So yes. I think that's really cool. I like this. I think Trent Beretta is doing a really good job with this. Now we just got to see Trent and Chucky T and see how that goes. That's going to be a really good match, that's, I think, and a really good feud. Dude. It's always fun when tag teams – it's not fun when they break up, but when they do, the feud that results after it – usually is so good.
Usually.
So good. Yeah, that's why I said usually. It's not
well,
always.
No, I was agreeing because, I mean, if you follow up on it quickly, it normally works. When you wait 8 months, kind of not.
Yeah.
Looking at you, Jimmy and Jay.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard their match time got cut, though.
Yeah,
so
I saw that, too.
But I believe what you're referring to is the big story is Tony got his ass kicked.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Tony Khan takes a bump in AEW. So for those who didn't watch Dynamite, the entire night was predicated and woven throughout the night with The Elite, Matt and Nick Jackson, Okada and Jack Perry arriving to the arena. They were at Daly's place, right?
Yes, they were.
Is that what that is? That's what I thought. But you saw them throughout the night wondering, is Jack Perry back in AEW? And then at one point, they cut to a backstage segment where one of the Bucks alludes that Tony Khan and Jack Perry are going to have a meet together in the ring, to which at the end of the night, Jack Perry is standing in the ring. He calls out Tony Khan, begging him to reinstate him. I say begging. He didn't really beg him. He just asked him to reinstate him, but said he wanted to do this for AEW. He's only ever wanted to do what's best for AEW. And for him to shake his hand, reinstate him, and they can move past this. Tony shakes his hand. They hug. Jack Perry gives the most shit-eating grin I've ever seen out of most people in wrestling. And then proceeds to clock his boss in the gut with a microphone. Why the gut?
It hurts more.
I know, that's why I said it. Why the gut? Poor Tony. I don't want a microphone to the gut. Oh, knock me over the head with it, please. But he does. He hits him in the gut. Tony sells it pretty well. I'll give him credit for that. He sold it pretty well. Right. The EVPs come out a little while later with Okada. Look like they're going to maybe push Jack Perry off. And how could you do this? What's wrong with you? And then they proceed to give him a Meltzer driver. And all hell breaks loose. And the Elite have now taken over the asylum. This was all sorts of chaos, all sorts of nonsense. Take it away, McCarthy. What is your thoughts on how this all played out?
Oh, this was utterly fantastic, man. Look, look, we're all going to be divided on whether the all-in footage should have ever been shown. However, they're using it for storyline purposes, which is what we all bitched at them for doing. It has all led to this. All in, all the way to here, has been one long-ass story that, you know, maybe they took longer to tell parts of it than they should have. But at the end of the day, they obviously they came up with this idea pretty quickly. Because, I mean, they were talking to Okada about, you know, coming to the company in December. You're not going to have somebody the level of Okada coming in without some sort of a plan. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think it's utterly fantastic. And like you said, not a bad bump for someone who's never taken one. A lot of people like to make fun of Tony's mannerisms. Man, I love it. He's one of us. I don't even give a shit. It's great. I loved Okada. What are you doing? Haha, yeah, do that. Because we could all see it coming. We all saw the EVP trigger coming. But then Okada's like, no. Yeah, that one. It's great. I like it. I like where it's going. I'm wondering who Tony's going to choose and who's going to end up being on his side. I don't know how close Kenny is. He's going to have something to say, obviously, next Wednesday. I don't know how close he is to returning. But there's some people.
I can't imagine he's that close.
I don't think so either.
And that's the only thing that concerns me. Omega
Adventures.
Or something. I have so many conflictions with this. I really do. And it's not that it was good. It actually really was. I like the way they wove it throughout the night. I just worry how the execution's going to go because there are so many factors that play into this that could go really bad really quickly. As you pointed out, a lot of people rag on Tony for his mannerisms. He's not that good on the mic. He's very nerve-wracking on the mic. So I get very concerned how they're going to overcome that.
They don't have to. He doesn't have to cut a promo.
Why?
He doesn't have to do anything.
Why?
Because he was attacked. He gets people to handle his business for him. He's a billionaire. He doesn't get his hands dirty. Come on now. Other people will have to stand up for Tony Khan. Tony Khan.
Well, nobody stood up for him last night.
Not yet. Not yet.
That's my other problem.
They were already gone. Yeah, the nobodies that came out after the fact. Yeah.
Yes.
I like all of them. Like, I'm glad they got on TV, but like nobody? Not even Will? Not even Will.
This is the boss of your company, and like I can explain.
Unless there was an edict down from Shad Khan and he said no one does anything. He's ruined this company. He's taken my money and pissed it down the toilet. These are my EVPs. This is my Rainmaker. Because I bet he can cut a hell of a fucking promo. He made the billions of dollars. He can cut a promo.
I would actually be entertained as hell by that if the father is actually the mastermind behind this whole damn thing.
It'd be so great.
It would be hilarious. I think that could actually work. I won't lie. I wouldn't be totally upset about that.
And it totally gives you a reason to take Tony off of TV, like more so than the attack. But like,
yeah.
But dad just took everything from me. This sucks. Now you have to tie it up by next year's NFL draft. But
right.
By the way, Tony, did you see the picture from the draft room?
I was just getting to that.
Yes.
By the way, Tony Khan is wearing a neck brace in the draft room. So props to Tony Khan for selling the business.
Live the gimmick, brother.
Live the gimmick.
They say wrestling is fake. Tony Khan's live in the draft wearing a neck brace to tell you different.
He gets my respect for that. Most definitely. Good job for that. I have questions because we don't know who is going to lead the Avenger team for Tony Khan. I don't think it's going to be Kenny right now because he's still hurt with the diverticulitis. I don't think he's cleared anytime soon. It not for a couple months at least. I just don't know who it can be because, to be honest, they've got a lot of heels as top guys in the company right now to where I just don't know who you put in that position.
Moxley.
And the
Claudio. Danielson.
But does that really fit the BCC?
Yeah, because they like kicking people's asses for a reason, not to be assholes. They have rules and regulations to their ass kickings. Plus, this could affect their booking. I think we need to think about that, too. Like, we're not going to have any answers for a minute. Because if Tony is gone and out of the picture for a minute, then that's going to affect everybody's booking. Who's going to kiss the EVP's asses to get a better spot on the card? Like, there's a lot of potential with this. What if they don't like Swerve as their world heavyweight champion?
Well, clearly they don't because, good God, you almost didn't even remember that he was their world champion the way he was presented on TV.
I could have gone for a celebration more so than a match, but that match was great.
I don't mind that he had a match. What I mind is, like you just said, they had no celebration. They had no promo. I'm not saying he's got to cut a 20-minute promo, but the fact that he didn't even get a microphone to say something kind of pisses me off a little bit. Unless because that's what he not wanted. Only – which is fair. I get that. Because it's your first African-American world champion, and he's your new world champion. He could have been given him – and I guess he's going to say something next week. So
I think that's why.
Okay.
You have this big angle planned. It's the through of the show. Let's not take away from Swerve. The exact reason why you don't give him the belt at Revolution. Because no matter what those three did, it was always going to be overshadowed by Sting's retirement. Why risk overshadowing what he has to say with this giant angle that hopefully gets the whole wrestling world talking, which I believe it did. But
can
I
be honest?
It's weird that like the first day, Dynamite, first AEW Native American or African American champion, and he is Native from here. He was born here. Leave me alone. it's weird that he didn't. But I think that's why.
And the other thing that kind of pisses me off is you go back and you watch that match. Dude, 75% of that match was like promotion for the rest of the show. I don't think there were 10 minutes of that match that didn't have a lower third in the fucking frame.
Oh, do they do that shit all the time? I hate it when they do it in picture.
I know.
Picture.
But they shouldn't do it in the match with your world champion.
They shouldn't do it in the middle of a match at all. Unless it's to promote this guy's next big match. That's the only time it should be used. I agree. Their use of the lower thirds are extremely egregious. Extremely egregious.
And there was one point, I forget what they were promoting. I think it was ticket sales for something. But it took up half the screen.
Right.
Who's making these damn graphics? That lower third was half of the screen. And they had to do a wide shot because otherwise it was probably going to cover up the wrestlers.
Probably.
That's why I'm upset is because not only did you kind of, in my opinion, spit in the face of your world champion by not giving him a chance to celebrate, but in the match you put him in, you basically ignored him because you were busy promoting the entire rest of the show. Also, I hate the Eliminator matches.
Oh, for the title shot?
I do.
Yeah, I don't like them.
I hate them. I don't like them either. Because that's the same thing we bitched at WWE for the longest effing time for, is just throwing to guys in these matches and, oh, if they win this match, they get a world title shot. Why?
Well, it hurts the credibility of the rankings.
Yes! Because it does.
Because the rankings only matter for the World Heavyweight Championship, the Women's World Champion, and the Tag Team Champion. Those are where the rankings come in. And I think the trios. Everything else, you don't have to be number two to challenge for. So an eliminator match for a shot at the world title that you should have to move up for the ranks for shoots you in the foot as far as your rankings go. That's why I don't like them. If you just want to have two dudes go at it, just have two dudes go at it and call it a day. Like, we don't need the eliminator match at all.
Oh, and by the way, if you were watching this match, you found out that Kenny Omega was going to return next week.
That's important.
I understand that. But again, can we not put that in the middle of the World Champions match?
It's fine. Trying to get people to tune in next week. Trying to tell the story through the show like they're supposed to.
Well, apparently people didn't tune in this week.
They never do. Because AEW doesn't tell stories, but there's stories everywhere.
No, they tell stories. They just rush through them in like 6 weeks.
Sometimes. Or they take too long. Sometimes there's a happy medium.
It's just a tiny, tiny little sliver.
They'll get better. They always get better.
They are getting better. But they've got to get this Tony Khan and Elite story right. And I worry that
I don't think you should worry. So far, it's been fine. Like, the only thing people can bitch about is the All-In footage. So what
here's my problem.
Like, Tony Khan's like bump wasn't even egregious. What?
No. Here's my problem. The Bucks and Jack Perry are baby faces.
Are they?
They absolutely are. If you listen to the promo, and then you listen to that video that they cut after the show was over, those guys are baby faces.
Well, that's not their fault.
So you've just now made them the baby faces and your boss the heel.
They did nothing.
And I don't think...
The crowd decided that. They did nothing. They did nothing. They are trying to be heels. They did nothing.
The promo is there. I put the promo on them.
The snarky...
Or not the promo.
Jack Perry promo that was all a lie? He was obviously lying the whole time.
But that video that they cut afterwards, that I do think is a problem. So it's basically Jack Perry saying, You cost me 8 months of my career. Basically, him talking about how he was made a scapegoat. And then the Bucks go on about how they want to change AEW back to the way that it was, back when it was better and something like that. And this was their final play. Basically making Tony out to be kind of like the bad guy for making the decisions that he's made. And AEW is the way that it is right now because of Tony Khan. To me, that makes them babyfaces because they're kind of right. And with you look at everything that has been going on with AEW, from the ratings to the perception to everything like that, you kind of do make Tony Khan the bad guy because you kind of make him, and I'm not calling him this, but you kind of make him the inept leader that is trying to destroy the company, even though I don't think that's what Tony Khan's really trying to do, but like he's on paper made decisions that have tried to destroy the company by airing the footage, by doing, like, it looks like they're trying to make them the baby faces and him the bad guy. So if we're going to have a bunch of baby faces be his Avengers, that don't really work because they should be on the Elite side. Because they should actually want what the Elite want.
Look, I think it's fine.
It's not, though. It's really not.
It is fine. It's not that big of a deal. Because they'll get booed. It's fine. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, but how long if they don't, though?
They got cheered last night. Yeah, they got cheered once.
They're going to get cheered. Jack Perry got cheered at Dynasty. They're going to cheer for this guy.
So then that promo doesn't matter. The crowd already made their decision on Jack Perry. And the promo they cut last night doesn't matter because they already made their decision.
But how are we going to hate Jack Perry now? Because we're supposed to hate him.
I never hated him in the first place.
I didn't either. That's the problem.
Never hated Jack Perry.
So is Tony Khan the bad guy?
I don't know. It's supposed to be the Bucks. Let's see what happens at the next. Let's see what happens at the next town. You got to remember, areas of the countries are different.
They were in Jacksonville.
Yeah, and they're different than Winnipeg. They'll be in Winnipeg next year, next week.
It's kind of ironic that Jacksonville was the one that wanted to see Tony get his ass kicked the most, apparently.
Apparently.
For cheering. It's, you would think maybe some angry Jaguar fans.
Maybe. Yeah, that could be it.
Beat that Tony Khan's ass. He screwed my football team. I will give it time. I'm not going to completely shit on it. I just, you know how we are with wrestling caps on. I try to look at this and go, what's the point? Why did we do this? Who is this going to benefit? And so immediately, none of my questions are even partially answered.
But they're not supposed to be answered right away. They're not supposed to be. If you want answers right away, what are you doing?
It should feel like there's a direction, and
there
I don't
is
feel
a
like
direction.
There's...
Just because
what's the direction?
The EVPs are taking over the company. That's the direction. It's not that hard. That's the direction they're going. It's what they're doing. They're taking over. They don't like what Tony Khan's been doing. They are taking over. That's what they're doing.
So we're NWO. Got it. Cool.
And every other stable before it.
I mean, NWO is the only one that really tried to take over the entire company.
I mean, DX. I mean, I'm gonna say it. Can we stop? DX. Fucking, can we stop? Simpsons did it when it comes to AEW. Please, it's egregious. And it's faith argument. Because wrestling is well over 100 years old, of course they're going to redo storylines. Is it when WWE redoes storylines, it's okay because they own the product? Simpsons did it, but so no one else can. No, that wasn't the point of that episode. The point of the episode was you got to do it in your own way. So don't buy that argument that it's been done before, so it's going to be bad.
Okay.
Because there's nothing new in wrestling. Nothing's new. It's all repackaged.
No, but to be fair, maybe redoing a segment that did go bad, probably not the best idea. Yeah, you can do it differently and in your own way, but it went bad the first time. Doesn't usually incite happiness that it's going to go right the second time.
NWO lasted forever. What are you talking about? It worked for a minute.
Horribly wrong.
Until it got to like 40 deep. It worked great.
So you're saying that 30 is the max?
Saying that this is the max right here. This is as big as it needs to get.
How about 10?
No.
15?
It doesn't need to grow. It needs the cores because they make sense. They have relationships. They've known each other forever. They make sense. Just like the NWO did at first. Look, if they jump the shark and there's 10 people in this group in a month, I will tell you we were right and I was wrong. It's fine. But until that day.
Well, I am intrigued to see where they go with it. I'm not going to write it off. I'm not trying to write it off. No matter what it may seem like, I am not trying to write it off. It seems like it's got potential to be a jumbled mess already, and I'm a little bit concerned. But
every professional wrestling storyline does, brother.
Not all of them.
Yeah, some. All of them have a chance to be messy, and this is not messy.
Well, yeah, messy. That's true. It could be.
It's not messy, man. It's not. It's cut and dry. Now who the fans choose to cheer, it's 2024. You can't control that anymore. Swerve's the perfect example. Austin before him. Cody in the middle of those two. Fans are going to go where they're going to go.
I just can't see Tony Khan as the bad guy. I can't. Well, and I know you're saying
that on TV very often anyway. He's not ever going to be presented as a bad guy.
But he's the one that gets attacked. Like, he should be on TV now. He's already set the precedent.
He's hurt. What? Now he's at parade. Look, CM Punk put somebody in a chokehold, and he feared for his life. How do you think he's going to feel after getting the TK driver done on him?
So you're telling me that the Bucks and Jack Perry are all fired, and Okada?
No, probably not.
They damn well better be.
Why?
Because they just fired CM Punk 8 months ago.
This is storyline, brother. That wasn't storyline. They have clauses in their contract. They can do whatever the fuck they want.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's all I got.
Anything else you want to touch on Dynamite? I know we already talked about what I really want to talk about besides the Tony Khan thing, which is the story of Strickland thing. Oh, you wanted to touch on the Casino Gauntlet.
Yeah. For whatever reason, I really liked that. I think it was because like we had all.
I like the premise. And... I don't like the idea they called it a gauntlet.
Yeah, I think there's a better name for it. Like I really kind of liked it.
I loved it, honestly. I love the concept. I hate that we called it a gauntlet match because it didn't feel like a gauntlet match to me. Because no, I mean, I've been either. Trained. Wrestling has trained my brain that a gauntlet match is one after the other. So, like, I see 20 dudes start coming to the ring. Like, what the frick is this? Nobody pinned anybody. Why is he coming out? I am so confused right now. What's going on?
Yeah, it was it's a great twist to the Battle Royal. I liked it. I hope they keep doing it. Let's come up with a... Like, we already have a Casino Battle Royal. Do we need a Casino Gauntlet? Can we just...
I have a commentary complaint, though.
Uh-oh.
Can we stop having these guys say, I didn't know this was on the schedule. I didn't know this was on the card. How do you not know that a casino match like this, a gauntlet match, I'm fine if you don't know who's coming out. How do you not know it's on the schedule?
I think they meant until earlier today. Like, we didn't know this was coming until we got to the building, and I don't think they made that clear.
They did not, because I'm like, how the hell do you not know this is a match on? It's like the FTR thing. Like, when FTR came out, that Dynamite, this Dynamite from Hell. Like, and
this isn't on our rundown. This isn't on our rundown. Yeah. Okay,
well,
sure.
Somebody tell the audio guy, because he played the damn music.
Right.
And played the Titantron. So you didn't know they're coming out. Somebody's messing up, because clearly somebody knows except for you. So that's my only complaint, is clean that up a little bit with the commentary. It just doesn't need to be said. If you didn't know, cool. We don't need to know that you didn't know. I don't know half the stuff that happens on ASWA ahead of time. Guess what? I don't go preaching it. You'll know if I didn't know, because I'll probably sound as shocked as you do whenever you find out that this person came back. Not that anybody came back or anything. Hint, hint, wink, wink.
Ta-ha.
Ha-ha-ha. But, yeah, that's the only part that really bothered me, that and calling it a gauntlet match. If they clean those two things up, I love the concept. I love the match. I don't know how I feel about Will winning.
I do.
I like him. I do. I have a little bit of a problem, though, with everybody that they just recently signed is going to either have a title or it has gotten a title shot in the last 2 months. That rubs me the wrong way.
You put it on your stars, man. Put it on your stars.
You have so many stars in that company as it is. Do they have
anybody at the caliber of Okada and Ospreay right now? Right now.
Jay White. Adam Cole. MJF.
Adam Cole's hurt. MJF is hurt. They haven't booked Jay White properly. I don't understand.
Didn't book him properly.
No, but before, they're not getting championships soon enough. Now, oh my God, they're getting championships right away. Put it on your stars. We just had this conversation with Becky Lynch. Put it on your star. Will Ospreay is the most over person in the company. You want that international championship to mean something, you put it on your number one guy.
The reason it makes sense with Becky Lynch is because they were put in a bind. They are not put in a bind here with Roderick Strong. Roderick Strong isn't dropping the championship. That's the difference. The only reason it makes sense for Becky Lynch to hold the title is because they needed to put it on somebody because their champion got hurt. It doesn't make sense to me for them to put it on Will Ospreay this early. No, I'm not saying they're going to do that. They probably will, though, because you can't really have Will Ospreay lose to Roderick Strong this early.
Nope.
I don't hate it. I just feel like that's a slap in the face to your talent on the roster as it is.
It's no different than The Rock getting top billing at WrestleMania.
I agree.
You go with your stars. Does it suck for them? Sure, it sucks. Sorry. It's pro wrestling. It's how it works. Everyone's bitching about ratings and attendance and everything else. Well, how do you do that? You put titles on your stars and tell better stories that aren't there yet, a little bit more with the stars that you have, such as a Will Ospreay, because as good as Roddy is, Will Ospreay makes stars.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's just, you got to do it. It sucks. There's a lot of people. Look at what Orange Cassidy did with it. He did fantastic. But that title can mean so much more. Just like with the Continental and Okada holding it, it can mean so much more. It's the Gunther paradox. You give it to the big, strong guy that can hang and win all the time and see who you can make out of it. It won't make everybody. It never does. But we might get two or three. That's all you can ask for.
All right.
I'm sorry. I'm hopeful for wrestling. I'm not pessimistic about it anymore. I'll wait till it crushes my dreams to bitch about it.
Give it time.
I'll wait till it crushes my dreams. I'm fully aware I'll have to bitch eventually.
Yeah. Anything else you want to touch on with this Dynamite?
I think that was it. We touched on all the big stuff.
Yeah, I think we did.
Moxley and Powerhouse had a good match. It was fine.
Yeah. What do you make of the comments that people are making about Moxley with the IGP title?
Which ones?
Where they say that they're not showing respect to the IWGP.
Oh, that's just storyline.
Are you sure?
If the people that run New Japan felt that way, they wouldn't have put it on Moxley. And Moxley's probably not even going to be on television that much. He's the champion to get the American eyes on the Japanese product.
Yeah.
It's given power, and if given Powerhouse Hobbs a title shot is disrespectful to the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, then the IWC can kiss my fucking ass. It's not like he won. He had a good showing, showed Jon Moxley what he could do and how improved he's been since they met the first time. It's not disrespectful. It's who Jon Moxley is. He gives anybody a title shot. He doesn't care. He just wants to bleed.
How about the Willow title celebration?
That was cool for a minute. Would have been better without all the audio issues, but that's kind of the whole show.
So I was listening it to on my computer here, and I had it through my headphones, and I didn't really have my headphones on, so I had it loud enough I could hear through the headphones. So I didn't hear I'll have to go back because I didn't hear the audio issue.
It was just wonky. It was like they didn't adjust, because Logan texted me about it, and I think it's because they were outside. I didn't say more on that thought. I think the adjustment wasn't made for being outside. Because, gotcha. I mean, you know, it's Florida, but it's springtime. It's probably windy. Like, I don't think they made their adjustments. And it reminds me of those old Daily's Place days. But it was worse. Because I was like, okay, some of that they can't fix. Because some of it I heard after Logan texted me, I was like, all right, well, that just sounds like how it used to when they were in Daly's Place. But then as the show went on and promos were cut, that's where the audio issues really came into play. Like, you couldn't really hear what Serena Deeb was saying. They had somebody on commentary rapping to Willow. No idea what he said. Like, it was hard to make out what he was saying. Like,
I kind of heard what he said. I didn't understand that at all. Because I think I was doing something else, and I heard that on the audio, and I'm like, the hell is this?
I think they know each other, or he performs her song anyway.
Oh, okay.
Something like
that. Cool. Let him live.
I thought it was cool.
I thought it was a good segment, like you said, for a little bit. Audio issues aside, the ending was a little awkward, I thought.
It's because they keep trying to tell us Mercedes is a face.
Yeah, no.
She don't even talk like a face.
Nope.
Looks like a heel. Make her a heel.
It's not rocket science. Let's please just do this.
Because even I'm not buying into this Mercedes right now.
Also, I have a remark to make to Willow Nightingale. Don't look in the damn camera, please.
Why?
Like, she has a woman 10 feet, inches away from her. I said feet, I meant inches. Inches away from her. Directing a promo at her, and she's looking into a camera. Why?
She likes cameras. It's fine. I mean, it was just the three of them in the ring.
It was awkward.
It's fine. It was just the three awkward of them in the
that
ring.
She was staring into my soul. I didn't like it.
She's
it
supposed to.
No, she's not. She's supposed to direct her words at the woman that they're directed to, which is right there. But no, you're looking here.
But half the 75% of it, there was no one there.
What do you mean?
Mercedes didn't come out to the end. She was just
cutting
a promo.
I'm talking about the end. There was the 2 minutes of the end, she's cutting a promo, and she's looking at the camera. She's not looking at Mercedes, who is standing right there in the ring. It was the weirdest thing I've seen. I did not understand it at all.
Lack of experience. Got caught up trying to make sure all of the other promo she was presenting to the camera. Because all the other promo you're supposed to, because you're not wrong. You do have to direct the end part towards Mercedes. You do.
If nobody's in the ring, that's one thing. But she's literally standing right next to you in the ring, and she kept looking at the camera.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Like, until she came out, she did fine.
Yeah.
She hasn't really had to do that as far as in her wrestling experience. She'll learn.
Chris getting involved was kind of weird.
She'll learn.
Like, Chris just randomly, like, getting in Mercedes' face after the thing was over with to kind of coerce them to actually hit each other was just really kind of awkward, I thought. Yeah, like you said, it was good to start, and then it kind of just fell apart a little bit. I like Stokely, though.
Stokely's funny. Stokely.
He is so good at his job. So I got the numbers from Logan. Logan posted in our chat what the viewership was for this show. 683,000 for this episode of Dynamite.
That hurts.
I'd say part of that is because of, I think there were NBA games on last night.
Yep.
So that definitely cut into it. The audio issues seem to be blamed, which I can understand. If they had audio issues, people probably turned away.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it turned a lot of people away.
I'm going to say it. Having it at Daily's Place probably also has a factor in this, too.
Nobody cares about Daily's Place anymore.
It's not the most beautiful viewing experience.
No, I noticed that a lot, too. I was like, now that we've been so out of the pandemic, I'm like, oh, I don't like that.
You don't see a lot of the crowd. It's a really awkward stage setup. I didn't like it. I don't like the way they have the setup there. I know why they run there. I understand it. I respect it. But if they didn't have to, they shouldn't. All good? I don't know why it took me this long to realize you're wearing two headsets.
Yeah, it's the only way to hear you and talk to you. It's great.
Surely there's a better way.
I don't know it. And until someone can show me.
Okay.
Because it just won't come through the Rodecaster. It refuses.
Jeez, really?
Yeah, fun times.
I bet. They drew a .23 rating in the 1849 demo. Apparently that's down 11.5% from last week. It says it matches the lowest rating the show has done in that category on a Wednesday night since June 24th of 2020. Dear God.
Yes. Yeah,
no, and apparently the viewership is the lowest audience total the show has done in its regular time slot since January 6th of 21.
I'd say a big part of it was the audio issues.
I think you're right. I think a lot of it's the audio issues, and I think it's a lot of it is the Daily Place. I wrestling fans are weird. They love the visuals, and I think having it there just makes it look weird, and I think a lot of people that would probably turn them off from it. So I'm sure that played a part.
I think after All In, like, that was the turning point where it's like, damn, we can't come here anymore.
Yeah. I think you're right. You want to talk SmackDown, or should we wrap it up?
Let's wrap it up. I got to yell at Papa John's.
Okay. Well, you go yell at Papa John's. Don't yell at Peyton too much. Or is he still a sponsorship of
Dude, I don't Papa know. John's? They randomly canceled my delivery order without
so much as
a fucking phone call. So,
dude, that happened to me. Like, it wasn't Papa John's, but that happened to me like a week ago where somebody just randomly canceled my order. I'm like, what the hell?
25% tip too, bro.
Oh, yeah. That's,
no, ain't nobody getting it because we're going to end the show. I'm going to yell on the phone, and then I'm going to go pick that shit up myself.
Hell yeah.
Bye, Buckle. We're well, going just we got to do it.
Well, with that being said, what are your thoughts on the Tony Khan storyline with the Elite? How do you feel about Swerve Strickland being the new AEW World Champion? Are you as pissed off as everybody else that Becky Lynch is the World Women's World Champion? I bet I can say that five times fast. Let us know all of your thoughts. Follow us on all of our social medias and check out our YouTube page for Snapmare Productions and all the ASWA content that we produce. But yeah, we want to hear all your comments, Boca Brigade, and let us know how you feel about this week's wrestling and how it all played out. We've got the draft coming up, as we alluded to, and some more fun wrestling should be on the way next week, and we'll be here to cover it. I've been Travis Knapper, alongside the Mac Daddy, Jason McCarthy, and we will see you next time, Boca Brigade. Bye!
Bye!
I'm losing track of the knobs here. Sorry. Because I got to... Travis echoes if I'm not, like, over here paying attention to him talking, so I got to turn him up.
Quit messing with my knob. God damn.
Who matches up in front of you?
No, I expected you to do it, but I'll do it.
Oh, okay, because I'm not doing enough. Oh, the new world champion?
I need a second.
The new champion for All Elite Wrestling?
Yeah.
Mr. Samoa Joe?
Stop talking to me.
Put the jack in jackassery.
Shopping cart down a hill.
I'll do it.
I see it
I'll
now.
Do it for free. I'll
see it now. I certainly hope so because I don't have the money to pay you for it.
Well, I mean, you could slide me a buck.
I could.
You cheap bastard.
Wow.
It's like SpongeBob meets Mr. Krabs over here.
Get back in.
I have a disability, I would hope. Are you my friend or aren't you?
I don't want to ignore our dozen of fans. That would be terrible.
Our dozen of fans, I like it. We are humble,
but let's make no worries
for the rest of your days.
Burner barrel.
It's our problem-free philosophy. Hakuna Matata.